crazy tonight. You gonna get it crazy tonight?
I get down to it.
I said, are you gonna get it crazy?
I get down to it.
I said, you're going to move, get it all down, get it all night, get it all right, get it out of sight, and get it down, baby.
Yeah.
Whammer jammer, let me hear you.
A woman in a blue and white robe holds aloft a torch. Columbia. An animation of a spinning LP. Over Brook Entertainment. Animated leaves fall around a tree-lined path. Weed Road Pictures. A blue sky over woodland. Blue light. Columbia Pictures presents, in association with Relativity Media, a Blue Light Weed Road Pictures Overbrook Entertainment production.
All units, code 3 pursuit of 211 white SUV heading east on Alameda Service Road. Suspect 3 engine male, request backup immediately. Be advised, shot fired, shot fired.
Hancock. A white SUV swerves through traffic pursued by a posse of police cars. A news crew chopper hovers overhead. A man leans out of the window of the SUV and sprays bullets at the police with a machine pistol. The SUV smashes its way through the commuter traffic, causing multiple collisions. A black guy in his early 30s lies slobbed out on a park bench. As he slumbers, one of several empty spirit bottles rolls on the floor beside him. Back with the police chase, the fugitives fire off more ammunition at their pursuers. The SUV nudges another car out of its way. A boy walks up to the crashed-out drinker and tries to wake him. The man slumbers on. The boy tugs at the man's arm.
Hancock!
Hancock gradually comes to and lifts his beanie hat that was covering his eyes. He looks up blearily at the boy.
What, boy?
Bad guys?
Hancock sees the chase on TV in a shop window.
What, you want a cookie? Down on my face.
Asshole.
What?
You heard me?
The boy wanders off and Hancock blows a plug of snot out of his right nostril. He picks up some sunglasses and makes to pinch a girl's bum. He puts the sunglasses on and looks up. He reaches down and pulls another bottle of grog from a box under his bench. He looks around, then takes to the air in an explosion which shatters the pavement. He hurtles through the air as he flies across the city, the bottle of grog in his left hand. He hurtles towards a flock of oncoming birds. He collides with a couple of birds as he flies through the flock. He spits out a feather. As he flies on, he narrowly misses a passing plane. Swigging from his bottle, he flies down over the police chase and smashes through a freeway sign. The debris crashes down onto several of the police cars, destroying them. Hancock flies on and lands on the SUV. He rips off part of the roof, then lands in the back seat of the vehicle. Subtitles: Hancock, beat it, soldier boy.
Hancock is in the car and he appears to be negotiating with the gunman.
He smells like a bar. You pay for new roof.
Fellas, hey, I don't give a shit what you did. I don't care. Three guys in the car, no girls, rave music. Hey, I'm not gonna judge. But if you don't pull over and give yourselves up quietly, I swear to Christ, your head is going up the driver's ass, his head is going up your ass, and you drew the short stick because your head is going up my ass.
Shoot this asshole. The gunmen open fire on Hancock. The bullets bounce uselessly off him, but they do break his sunglasses and his bottle of grog. Stop! What the... Hancock points to his broken bottle and shakes his head. He stamps his feet through the bottom of the vehicle and digs them into the road, plowing up the tarmac. The SUV grinds to a halt. Hancock flies into the air, carrying the SUV with him. He drops it, then catches it again. The cops watch as he flies around with it.
Konnichiwa!
Why I'm not Japanese, man! Put us down!
Oh, now he's Biggie Angley, huh? Biggie Angley now!
They crash into the side of a tower block. The spotlight on a helicopter dazzles Hancock and he drops the SUV. He catches it again just before it hits the ground.
You broke my glasses!
I'm sorry! Take my Raven! Put it down!
Huh? You want down? I'm real good at down! I'm real good at down! Alright? Alright!
He swings the SUV up and impales it on a spike on top of a building.
This, Hancock's latest act of so-called heroics, took a hefty financial toll. Initial damage estimates are said to top $9 million, which, if accurate, represents a personal record for the notoriously publicity-shy Hancock, who, as usual, can't be reached for comment. With
all the cracks... Hancock's in a bar. A woman gives him a disparaging look.
Fire! LA would be a lot better off if this guy would just leave and let's get on without job. He's never acted for a badge, and he has never worked with us in any capacity whatsoever. Zero. I don't mind if he just do it somewhere else. New York, maybe. Let them suffer with him for a while. What the hell's the train doing this? Move it! The train's not gonna help, idiot! Hell, are we supposed to get this down?
I'll break my foot off in your ass, woman.
This Hancock guy is surely on some kind of mission, and he's using our city to beat himself up for reasons known only to him.
We'll have live shots later from Chopper 1 for the removal of the SUV from
the landmark. Suited executives meet in an office block.
Sir, Ray Embry.
Ray?
Pleasure.
So?
Ray's like the Bono of PR.
Actually, I think Bono is the Bono of PR, but I do try. Well, let's see it. Okay, I'll get right into it. Good morning, everyone. I'm here to talk to you about charitable giving. Okay, and we all know the way that that works. You give 1, maybe 2% of your net cash, and you get an armband or a wristband or a ribbon or whatever it is. It's nowhere near enough. And that's why we at Embry Publicity would like to offer you the All Heart symbol. Now, you would be among a very select group of corporate giants to bear this logo on your product. And what this would say to the public is that your company, Pharmatopsis, has made a radical contribution to helping our world. And here's all you need to do to qualify. Your new TB drug, Mycodin, we would like for you to give that product away for free.
The execs are unimpressed.
Did you say free?
I did.
Incredulous looks all round.
Only to those who really need it. Only to those who, without it, would otherwise die.
You know, as a concept, free is kind of up there with lethal side effects.
Mandatory product recall.
Get indicted, go to jail.
Get out, work at IHOP for the rest of your career.
Understandable reaction. It's a radical concept. But it is the brand that represents a fairer and better world. The brand that everyone is talking about.
Who is everyone?
We do already have a sports franchise.
NFL? NBA, MLB?
Soccer.
MLS? Which team?
Well, it's a local team. Encino Hurricanes. It's my son's team. Anyway, we can save the world. All right, someone just got to go first. What do you say?
Are you a crackpot?
Later, Ray wanders down a sidewalk in the sunshine. Now he sits in an old BMW and talks on his mobile while swigging a coffee.
Hey, hon, you're probably at the store. I am on my way. I think I made a connection. Not really. Listen, tell Aaron that I'm coming and I want some meatballs, okay? I need some spaghetti madness. I'll see you in about 20 minutes.
Hey, what is it, National Horn Day?
Idiot.
He realizes he's stuck on a level crossing with a train approaching.
Hey! 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 Move it! There's a train coming! You guys hear that horn? Let's go! I got a train! Move it! Put your back your car up! There's a train!
I can't go anywhere! Get out!
Bitch!
Fix the handle, Ray! Fix the handle!
He winds the window down and opens the door. He tries to get out, but his seatbelt's still fastened. Hancock appears and bangs on his bonnet. Hancock upends the BMW as the locomotive bears down. Hancock lobs Ray's car out of the way, The train crashes into Hancock, the metal of the locomotive folding around him. Ray's car lands upside down on top of someone else's vehicle. He peers at them.
You all right?
The woman nods.
You sure?
The woman nods again. Hancock extricates himself from the twisted metal of the locomotive and steps back to admire his handiwork. As he walks away, some of the train's carriages keel over. They knock over a telegraph pole and a street lamp as they topple. Hancock removes his shades as he watches the chaos.
Shit. I'm all right. I'm okay.
All of you people, blocking the intersection. You're all idiots.
You're the one that threw the dude's car at her.
And what's with the train?
Why didn't you just go straight up in the air with the car?
Yeah, why not? Go straight up.
You've obviously injured that poor woman.
She's right. She should sue you.
Yeah, she should sue you.
Yeah. Okay, well, you should sue McDonald's because they fucked you up, all right?
And I can smell that liquor on your breath.
I've been drinking, bitch.
You're a drunk asshole.
You think you're such an idiot?
Resigned, Hancock waves at the crowd to bring it on. Ray watches.
We don't need you in this game. Some superhero you are. Fly off.
Ray.
Shut up. Do people understand I'm alive? I get to go home and see my family. I should be dead right now, right here. Yeah, he could have gone straight up. Obviously, he should have gone straight up. You know, and I was upside down for the train, but, no, thank you. Thank you very much, Hancock. Thank you. Thank you, Hancock.
He shakes hands with Hancock.
You're not flying by the valley, are you?
A pleasant suburban street. Ray's son, Aaron, sits on the porch of his house, playing with his dog.
Come on. We're gonna line up here, all right? Hold the ball. Let's go, be right. He says, hut.
Ray's car crashes to the ground.
Great. Thank you. Nice aim. The driveway would have been better, but...
What's going on, Dad?
Hey, buddy. Daddy's had a little bit of a day.
Look at you, huh?
I want you to meet somebody. This guy here dragging Daddy's car into the driveway. Who's this?
Hancock.
That's right. Hancock, this is my boy, Aaron.
Ray, what happened to the car?
Oh, boy, you would not have believed it. I came this close to getting hit by a train. If it wasn't for that guy... She saved my life. I mean, Hancock, this is my wife, Mary. I believe that pal almost kissed a train today, so my whole life flashed before my eyes.
He saved your life?
He sure did. Thank you.
Hey, you good?
I am good, yeah.
Keep it off the tracks.
I will, definitely.
Hancock cops an eyeful of blonde Mary and smirks.
Hang on. One second. Hancock, you eat, yes, human food?
Yeah,
you like
yeah.
Of course
you do. Aaron, sweetheart, he has to go and do other...
No, honey,
please, I love meatballs.
Yeah, who's so busy they can't have a meal, huh? And it's on us, please. I'm not even going to take no for an answer. Get inside the house.
Ray ushers Hancock into the house past Mary. She looks uncertainly around the street, where the neighborhood kids all stand staring. She follows the others inside. Hancock drums his fingers on his plate as he sits at the dinner table. Aaron smiles over at him. Hancock eyes Mary, unsettling her as she works in the kitchen.
Why do you have an eagle on your hat? Do you like eagles?
This guy's like a little talking machine, huh?
We don't have a lot of guests over here. Look at that, huh? Huh? Is the heat on? No? All right.
Yeah.
We started Spaghetti Madness about 2 years ago. We do it every Thursday, and we have not missed a Thursday in...
Yeah. Oh, ever. That's a long time.
Yes, sir.
Very long time.
That's some good meatballs, boy.
Aaron.
Mama's calling you.
Yes, Mom?
No. His name is Aaron.
Hey, Aaron, pal. How was school today, huh?
Fine.
Yeah, no more problems with that bully Michael?
Michelle. No, what girl's
right.
name.
No, I know.
It's French.
Yeah, Michelle Hancock is this... Hancock? Michelle is this neighborhood bully. We've been... trying to teach Aaron a little bit about conflict resolution.
You know what I mean? Yeah, turn the other cheek, all
that's
that.
That's exactly right.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Well, just never turn that one, all right? Never let them punk you.
Got it.
Okay, Aaron, eat your food.
Well, you deal with bullies, you take your right foot,
bring it right up, catch him in his little piss pump.
You don't have to do that, honey. No. Okay?
All right.
You know, seriously.
That's a good idea.
You aim straight and make sure he can't use that thing for nothing but a flap to keep the dust out of his butt crack.
Okay, please, okay. Just stop. Michelle is not a man. Okay, he's a little boy, and his parents happen to be going through a really, really bad divorce, and that's why he's acting up. And maybe you don't know this, but not everything in this world gets resolved with brute force. Not everything has to be bang, scream, blood, more blood, you know,
Angel,
just destruction.
We're okay. She watches so much news that sometimes it gets to be a little too much.
You got a toilet?
Yep. Just pass the fridge.
Hancock gets up and takes a bottle of grog he'd been concealing with him.
Did he just take the whiskey bottle to the bathroom?
Do you want him to kill us all?
Thanks for coming on in. Good, right?
Very, yeah.
You gonna say goodbye to him?
Bye, Hancock. Hey, all right, little buddy.
Ah! Are you okay?
Oh, that was a joke.
Come on, Aaron.
Yeah, sorry, I was just trying to... He got it. She didn't get it.
I owe you more than I can say. You gave my life back today. Just hear me out for one second. I'd like to return the favor. Do you know what I do for a living? I'm in public relations. You know what that is? Of course you do. We're image consultants. We change the way people see products, companies, people, and all that stuff. And listen, I see you on the news, and I see you out there today, and it can't feel good that people, you know, hate you.
It's good to meet you, Ray.
No, I'm sorry, but I mean, you know, hear me out. I mean, people, don't get me wrong, they should love you. They really should, okay? And I want to deliver that for you. It's the least that I can do, you know? You're a superhero. Kids should be running up to you asking you for your autograph. People should be cheering you on the streets, you know?
The hell are you pricks looking at?
Well, no, no, they're not. It's all right. They're not pricks, you know? They're people. But I want you to give me one short pitch, you know? That's all I ask, okay? You use... Put it under here.
A business card.
Email me, or whatever, you just fly on over, I don't know. You know, I want you to think about it, okay? Just be careful when you go, you sleep on it, all right? You get back to me, I'll be right here. All right, please don't stare, you guys. He's kind of one of us.
Hancock takes off, cracking up the road beneath him. Inside, Mary cleans her teeth.
What about Allhart?
It's a non-starter, babe. You know, I'm chasing windmills with that, and maybe I can't change the world, but I can change this guy's life. You know, I mean, just think about all the good he can do.
I think you're wasting your time with this guy.
You really hate him.
I don't hate him, Ray. I don't even know the guy. Just look at the news. You can see what he does.
I think he just needs people to care, you know?
Ray goes in the bathroom.
You see the good in everybody, Ray. Even sometimes when it's not there. I have a feeling about this. Don't work with this guy.
Hancock is on the roof, listening.
I know this kind of guy. He breaks things.
Hancock stares inscrutably into the distance. Up above him, a full moon hangs in the night sky. Daytime. The sea laps gently at the foot of some cliffs. High up on the cliff tops is a trailer home which appears to have been there some time. Hancock wakes in a chair outside the home. He's still dressed and wears his beanie hat with the eagle motif. A bell dangles from an eagle head sculpture outside the home. Hancock slowly gets to his feet and looks up at the sun, which hangs in a clear blue sky. He totters into the trailer and sits down, clutching his head. He picks up a small tobacco tin and opens it. Inside is some money and an old cinema ticket for Frankenstein. Hancock presses the tin against the side of his head. He puts the tin down and leaves his hand resting on it for a moment. He takes Ray's business card out of his pocket and looks at it. He folds the edge of his beanie hat up as he stares at the card. Kids play soccer in the street outside Ray's house. Suddenly, Hancock touches down, shattering the road surface. Everybody stares at him.
My bad. Everybody all right?
He's in that cell.
Hancock looks back at the blonde kid that just spoke. He walks towards the kid.
What's your name, boy?
Michelle.
Oh. Do you know Aaron?
Oui, le petit seul.
Well, seems to be a pretty good kid. Just want to ask you to lay off him a little bit.
Why, asshole?
A smile flicks across Michelle's face.
You're gonna stop calling me that.
Asshole.
That's not my name.
Asshole.
Hancock bridles and leans in real close.
Call me an asshole. One more time.
Hancock throws him a mile into the sky.
How about you, Thickness?
A fat kid.
Goggles?
Hancock! Son of a gun, I knew you'd come. Ask Mary. I had a feeling. I said he heard me.
Yeah, and he's ready for a change. This is great. Yeah, did you do this? You come in a little hot?
Yeah. I'm meeting
this is a great place for us to start. I know you don't drive.
Oh, damn
it. Hancock catches Michelle.
You're all right. I'll stop crying, punk ass. Go ahead.
Not okay.
Really
not okay. This is some of the stuff we're gonna work on. How do you think that conversation's gonna go down with his mom? Yeah. Landing like that in the streets, also on the uncool side.
No, that was already like that when I got here, right?
I live here. I know what the street's like. We're just gonna make those problems of the past, all right? I'm gonna teach you how to interface with the public.
Where's the wife?
Mary took Aaron to his soccer game. Hancock, pulled some stuff up on YouTube. Surprisingly large amount of not great stuff on you that's gonna be helpful.
What is this?
That's me trying to change the world. Unfortunately, not doing real well. Come on, let's get to you. This stuff was on YouTube. Now, everybody loves a nutty buddy, I get it. But this doesn't work, sir.
Hey, give me this.
Wearing clothing almost burnt away to nothing, Hancock pushes in front of kids at an ice cream van.
Those are children.
Hancock shrugs.
Get that camera out of my face. You ever, put out an apartment fire, Ray?
No, I haven't done that. I'm in PR. Yeah.
My ass was hot.
All right, how about this? This is Walter, the gray whale. Everybody remembers him, stuck on the beach north of Zuma. Along comes Hancock.
Hancock walks up to the stranded whale, grabs it by the tail, and flings it out to sea. It lands on top of a yacht, sinking it.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. Greenpeace does. Walter does. This all kind of gets redundant after a while, but my basic diagnosis of your fundamental problem is... Do you want to hear it?
No.
You're an asshole. I know. I call it like I see it, though. It's not a crime to be an asshole, but it's very counterproductive. Not a crime, but you are an asshole, don't you think?
Be careful.
All right, how about this? I've been thinking about something. This kind of goes to how you present yourself. Come on. Really? It's the middle of the day. What springs to mind when you see this?
A superhero comic.
Homo.
Another called Vulcan.
What about that?
Homo in red.
A third caped character called Vax.
Norwegian homo.
I'll give you that. Let's move past the comics. Let's get into something a little deeper. I think that deep down you behave badly because you are lonely. I think deep down you want people's acceptance.
Booze.
Come on now. You save people's lives, and they reject you, and so you reject them back. And it's a woman. And we're going to switch that cycle. We're going to start fresh, start anew. This is outstanding. If you turn some of this power into willpower...
Almost.
Hey, Hancock! We almost won!
Yeah, we did. Okay, upstairs. I'm making lunch. Go change.
Okay, Mom, I'm hungry.
Sweetheart. You've been watching the news?
No, we've been working on
interfacing with the public.
This has been going on all day.
The law is the law, Mr. Hancock, and you are not above it. Felony destruction of property amounting to tens of millions of dollars, theft, and now this. From where I sit, I see a selfish, self-absorbed man with a lot of muscle, but no regard for anyone but yourself. Mr. Hancock, let me remind you, you are not above the law. You have failed to show it over 600 subpoenas, and civil suits. Anybody else would be held in contempt. But oh no, not you. You may be a superhero, but let me tell you this. You're not nearly as strong as the U.S. Constitution. Bank on it, buddy. We do not condone it.
Genius. Things just got real, and this is exactly what we need. This is perfect. Right now, there's a DA trying to figure out how to come up here and put you in jail.
Biz can try.
I say you go. People take you for granted, you know? We gotta make people miss you. People don't like you, Hancock.
I do.
2 weeks, you know? The public will be clamoring for you. When they do, we'll be ready. And the worst case scenario is I'm wrong and you just, you know, you fly out of there. What do you got to lose?
Mary and Ray look at Hancock, who ponders. A large crowd has gathered. Hancock glances at Ray, then steps up to a bank of microphones. He reads from some note cards.
I apologize to the people of Los Angeles. My behavior has been improper, and I accept the consequences. I ask my fellow Angelinos for their patience and understanding.
At home, Mary watches on TV.
Life here can be difficult for me. After all, I'm the only one of my kind. During my incarceration, I will be participating in alcohol and anger management treatment.
He glances back at Ray, who smiles reassuringly.
You deserve better from me. I can be better. I will be better.
A sign. California Department of Corrections.
Give me the hand, playboy.
Hancock's fingerprints are taken. Now his mugshots are taken. The height chart behind him reveals him to be 6'3". Dressed in an orange prison shirt, Hancock walks along a walkway within the prison. He goes down some steps and makes his way across a large open area full of tough-looking inmates. King of my jungle, just a gangster, stalking, living life like a firecracker, quick as my fuse. Intention, death, back the colors I choose. A huge white guy with a shaved head and goatee beard stands in his way. As he tries to get round the man, another black guy blocks his path. The other prisoners crowd around him. He looks round warily at them.
Oh, I get it. I put some, most of you in here. For years. I can understand you feeling some kind of way about that.
What?
So, I'ma do me and I'm gonna let you do you. I don't want no trouble. All right?
Just wanna go to my cell.
Excuse me. Excuse me, please.
The black guy and the white guy don't get out of his way.
You don't move, your head is going up his ass.
He indicates the black guy will be wearing the white guy's arse as a hat. They still don't move.
Y'all fellas sure you want to ride this train?
Shoot you, asshole.
Hancock does indeed stuff the black guy's head up the white guy's arse. The other prisoners look on in shock. Some of them seem close to retching. The white guy screams in agony at his new anal insertion. Hancock looks on distastefully as the black guy attempts to extract his head from his friend's bum. Later, Ray visits Hancock. They sit on either side of a glass partition and talk over telephones.
Did you shove a man's head up another man's ass?
Hancock nods matter-of-factly. Ray looks down.
We're gonna circle back to that. The DA's office wants your sentence to run 8 years. It's a big number, but not something we didn't anticipate. You know, our plan is... What are you doing? Hey.
Hancock cuts a hole in the glass with his fingernail.
It sounded like you said they want me to spend 8 years in this shithole.
8 years is really more like 4.5 with good behavior. But it's irrelevant because with you out of the picture and with the crime rate going up through the roof, the DA and the cops, they're all gonna call for your immediate release. They're gonna demand it. They're gonna ask you, where are you going? Snap! Hey! Stop right there! Hancock!
Move.
Hancock!
Get back!
Stop being a coward!
Who are you talking to, Ray?
I'm talking to you.
Who are you talking to,
Stop
Ray?
Stop pretending that you do not care. You have a calling. You're a hero, Hancock. You're going to be miserable the rest of your life until you accept that. Trust me. Trust this plan, this process. Just stay in here. When they call, a hero's what we're going to give them.
Hancock considers.
How are we going to do that, Ray?
A therapy session.
All right, guys. Let's start sharing. Don?
Yeah.
You had something?
Yeah, I think I might have had a little bit of a breakthrough.
Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, I realize that breaking necks is, it's easy. But I'm sitting there and I'm staring at myself in the mirror. And I thought, this is tough.
It sounds tough.
Why do you always laugh?
Picturing you looking at the mirror. Yeah, every time
I'm talking, completely prunes a cycle.
Well, let's watch the crosstalk, okay?
I'm not going to share anymore if he keeps doing that.
Let's move on. Mr. Hancock, do you want to share it today?
He sits back.
Pass.
Your landing is your first impression. It's your superhero handshake. Don't come in too hot, okay? Don't come in too boozy, and don't land on the $100,000 Mercedes, all right? People have to be happy that you've arrived.
Mr. Hancock, your share?
Pass.
So you've used the door, and the building's still intact. People are happy that you've arrived. They feel safe now, and there's an officer there, and he's done a good job, so you might want to tell him he's done a good job.
What the hell did I have to come for, Ray, if he's done a good job?
Ray stares at Hancock. In the exercise yard, Hancock shoots a basketball from an impossible distance. Some guys in the yard don't look impressed. Shots of LA at sunset.
KBLA Radio AM 850. Today's big story, no surprise here. Hancock, what's your take?
I, for one, have had enough of this guy. I'm glad he's doing time around bars, and I hope they don't let him off easy. Let my cousin Pookie out.
You know, I see that you don't wear a bulletproof vest, security officer, and I respect your courage, because bullets don't bounce off you, they bounce off me.
Hancock stares at Ray. In the yard, he shoots another impossible basket.
Run by gangs and drug dealers. Hancock is the only guy who makes them shake in their boots. He doesn't always tie a pretty ribbon around it, but he gets the job done. Besides, he's hot.
Let me hear you say it. Let me hear you say, good job.
Hancock stares impassively.
Good.
Mr. Hancock, would you like to share?
Pass.
Good. Duh. Good. Good. Duh. Good job.
TV News.
Jail watch day 5, and true to his word, Hancock remains incarcerated. Meanwhile, crime is still on the rise. The LAPD is reporting increases of up to 30% in the last 5 days that Hancock has been behind bars.
Mary watches the news. Later, she and Darren visit Hancock.
Hancock! Hey, Hancock!
Hey, little buddy. Hey.
Hey, what's up,
Hancock? Where's Ray?
No, it's just us. Ray's working. Aaron really wanted to come and see you, so we just dropped by with some spaghetti madness. I should probably let the guard check for keys.
Yeah.
Okay, here you go.
Oh, you brought me meatballs, huh?
Just dig in.
Oh, man, look at that.
He eats a meatball as Mary sits down.
That's a good meatball.
Thanks, Hancock.
He nods appreciatively.
Ray is a good man.
Hancock looks up at Mary. She nods earnestly.
Whatever this is you're doing, don't let him down. Okay?
She nods again.
Okay, well, we should probably go, buddy.
You ready?
Yeah, I see.
I want to stay with Hancock.
Sweetheart, we have to go. Come on, say goodbye to Hancock.
Here, Hancock, that's my favorite one. And I want you to have it.
That was pretty sweet.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Aaron leaves a toy dinosaur for Hancock. Aaron waves as Mary carries him away. Hancock waves back. Hancock watches them go and looks moved. In a therapy session.
Mr. Hancock, would you like to share?
Pass.
All right, go.
A bearded black guy considers.
Love you guys, man. We love you.
Love you too.
Hank. Hancock eyes the other inmates in the therapy session emotionally. In his cell, he has drawn numerous sketches, many of an adult figure holding hands with a child. Others feature his favorite eagle motif. He lies on his bunk and stares at one of the sketches on the wall. Ray sketches a man on a drawing pad as he lies with Mary. They laugh and kiss. In his cell, Hancock leans against the wall, which is now covered in his sketches. The sun sets over Los Angeles. In prison, Ray opens a large box in front of Hancock.
For when they call.
Hancock peers into the box.
I ain't wearing that, Ray.
Yes, you are.
Oh, no, I'm not.
No, you are.
Actually, I'm not, Ray.
I think you're not, but you are.
I will fight crime butt-ass naked before I fight in the net, Ray.
You know, you have fought naked. We've got that. That's on YouTube. Hancock, this is a uniform. A uniform represents purpose. Doctors, policemen, firemen, right?
Right.
It represents a calling.
2 weeks.
Yeah?
Nobody out there is missing me, Ray.
Just be patient. You gotta trust me on this. All right?
In the exercise yard, Hancock shoots for a basketball hoop at an impossible distance. He muffs the shot, and the ball bounces miles up over the exercise yard fence and comes down in a field beyond. Hancock looks at a couple of guards, then leaps over the fence and goes to retrieve the ball. One of the guards gets on his radio.
Perimeter breach, perimeter breach.
Hancock picks the ball up and looks out over the wide open space in front of him to the distant horizon. He glances back at the prison compound and considers his options. He leaps up into the air with the ball and lands back in the exercise yard. In a therapy session.
Mr. Hancock, it's your chair.
Pass.
Come on, man, try it. Let it out. Come on, John.
I don't have nothing.
There's nothing on your mind. Come on.
It's cool, man. John,
sure?
Do it.
Come on.
Come on. Do it.
It feels good to release now.
Let it heal. Come on, man, try it.
You coming here all these days? You don't have anything to share?
I'm Hancock, and I drink and stuff.
The session leader nods.
All right, thanks for sharing.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
That's a clap.
Moved, Hancock gives his fellow inmates a thumbs up and nods. Later, he's crashed out on his bunk in his cell. A guard comes in.
Hey, Hancock. Come on, get up. You got a phone call.
Check a message.
It's the chief of police. He says he needs your help.
Surprised, Hancock looks round. Later, Hancock regards his reflection in the unbreakable mirror on his cell wall. He smears shaving foam on his face and uses his fingernails to shave off his stubble. A SWAT team chopper hovers above a crime scene. Marksmen lean out of it as it circles. On the ground, a policewoman is pinned down behind a bullet-riddled patrol car.
The trapped officer's husband is Corporal Joseph Blake, who was killed last year in Iraq, leaving her two small children. We are waiting for the latest news, but apparently there are three suspects and possibly...
What's going on?
Officers trade shots with heavily armed robbers holed up in a bank. The robbers spray the police vehicles with automatic fire. The policewoman cowers behind one of them.
Let's go! Everybody's gotta get back! Let's go!
The police move curious crowds away from the scene. In the bank, terrified customers cower as the gun battle rages. One of the masked robbers holds a detonator in his hand. Two police officers.
Got perimeter set up on the north, east, and south sides. West side is open.
Hancock streaks through the air above the scene. At home, Ray watches on the TV.
Don't break the building, don't break the building, don't break the building.
Hancock lands by the police. He wears an all-in-one leather jumpsuit and dark glasses.
What?
The cops grin as they look at his outfit.
It's a little tight. What you got?
Bank job. Got at least 8 hostages, 4 bad guys. I got an officer pinned down and we can't get to her. They've been spraying the hell out of us all morning. And they got some kind of heavy artillery, 50 caliber or bigger. I don't know if that matters to you.
I'm good.
Hancock looks a bit awkward.
Good job. Good job. Really good job.
The officers don't really know how to take such fulsome superhero praise. Hancock leaps over a balustrade and jumps down into the street. He walks past a large statue of an eagle as the cops and robbers trade shots around him. A couple of bullets hit Hancock as he strides towards the bank, and he brushes them off. In the bank, the cowering hostages have suicide belts strapped to them. Hancock waves to an FBI agent who runs for cover past him. The robbers spot Hancock approaching.
It's Hancock!
They fire a rocket launcher at him and he brushes the shot aside. The round hits a car, destroying it.
Freak him out!
Hancock walks over to the policewoman pinned down behind a car.
Good job! Do I have permission to touch your body?
Yes!
It's not sexual! Not that you're not an attractive woman. You're actually a very attractive woman and
get
make-
the hell out of here!
Hancock nods and turns the car on its side to provide more cover.
He's on the move!
Hancock carries the car in one hand as a shield and the policewoman in the other. The robbers blast away at the car with the .50 caliber rifle, blowing bits off it. FBI agents provide covering fire as Hancock strolls back to the police lines. He puts the car down and hands the female officer over to a sergeant.
Down.
Hancock!
Good job!
You said that! I need you to end this now!
Hancock nods and takes off into the air. In the bank, the robbers stop and listen.
Check the flanks! Secure the perimeter!
They look up warily.
Spread out! They're gonna come round the back!
The hostages look up nervously. The masked leader listens intently. Suddenly, Hancock smashes in through a window and flies out of another window, taking one of the robbers with him.
What happened to him? Where'd he go? Where'd he go?
The leader pulls his mask off. Hancock grabs another of the robbers.
What is happening?
The leader, who has close-cropped hair and a goatee beard, runs across the floor of the bank. Hancock skids to a halt behind him. The leader spins round and glares at Hancock.
I heard you was in the slammer.
Out early.
Why's that?
Good behavior.
Do you know what this is?
The detonator.
I'm guessing it's some kind of detonator type deal.
There's 8 pounds of C4 strapped to each and every one of them. This is a spring-loaded dead man switch. If my thumb comes off it, boom. And now, since we've had a little change of plan between the police showing up and you sucking out all of my associates, I want you to break into the vault. You'll find 3/4-ton pallets of small bills inside. $30 million.
Uh-oh.
And you're gonna carry it for me. You are gonna get me safely away from here with the money, or else they'll be cleaning up these hostages with a mop.
Hancock nods matter-of-factly.
I'm gonna have to say no to that. Really trying to turn over a new leaf.
I will blow up this entire building, you asshole.
Really don't like that word.
I will blow them sky high and their blood will be on your hands.
Hancock flattens a metal cone-shaped lampshade.
Do you hear me, asshole?
Hancock trims the edge of the lampshade with his thumbnail and turns to face the leader.
Call me an asshole.
one more time.
The leader grins. Hancock walks out of the bank holding the leader's now severed hand, which is still clamped around the detonator.
Keep your hand on that trigger. Good job.
Nah, you good job.
Good job.
The sergeant takes the detonator. The crowd begins to applaud Hancock. Hancock looks at the appreciative crowd and nods. At home, a delighted Ray watches on TV. Mary watches too. Hancock continues to nod sincerely to the crowd. He puts his dark glasses back on. Hancock leaps up into the air and flies away. At home, an excited Ray runs around the television set. An SUV pulls up outside a restaurant, and Ray gets out with Hancock, who wears a grey suit and open-neck black shirt.
Say hi to your fans. Hey, what you got? Here we go.
Oh,
thank you.
At the bank today. Intense. Smile.
Hancock forces more of a grimace.
Hancock, meet these guys. This is Maya Kilborn and Jeremy
Huge
Hamill.
Huge.
Insane.
These guys are partners at the biggest ad
firm
on the West Coast.
You never call, man.
Yeah, actually, I have called a couple of times.
Water under the bridge, man. Water under the bridge.
Mary, Ray, and Hancock eat at the restaurant.
Could you guys get used to this or what?
Mary smiles.
How'd you two meet?
I was married once before. First wife. She died giving birth to Aaron. It's another dinner. So there I am. I'm with this beautiful little baby. I don't know what the hell to do. And I was in the supermarket, and I'm in the baby aisle, and I've got a brand of diapers in each hand. I'm staring at them. I don't know how I'm going to get through the day. An angel sees me. She knew. She gave me this look. And even in the trance I was in, I knew that somebody somewhere was throwing me a little rope. You know, starting that day, you really put my life back together, right?
You're drunk.
So.
Ray and Mary kiss. Ray looks over at Hancock.
What about you, buddy? You're from another planet, aren't you?
Nah, man, I'm from Miami.
You didn't come in on, like, a meteor?
Nope. Woke up in a hospital, first thing I remember.
Government hospital? Yes? Experimenting on you and...
Nah, regular old Miami emergency room.
Come on.
Yeah, my skull was fractured. They told me I tried to stop a mugging.
Somebody knocked you out?
I guess I was a regular guy before, and... When I woke up, I was changed. And the hospital nurse tried to put a needle in my arm, and it just broke against my skin. And then my skull healed in, like, an hour. And doctors were astounded. And, they wanted to know my story, just like you, but I couldn't tell them. I don't know who I am.
Amnesia. You know, the blow to the head?
Yeah, well, that's what they figured.
You don't remember anything?
Only thing I had in my pocket was bubble gum, two movie tickets. Boris Karloff, Frankenstein. But no ID, nothing. I went to sign out. The nurse asked me for my John Hancock. So I actually thought that's who I was.
How come I didn't hear any of this? I didn't read about it in the newspapers?
It was probably in the papers 80 years ago.
80 years ago?
Oh, I don't age. This is it.
That's nice.
Gotta wonder, though. What kind of bastard must I have been?
He stares pensively into the distance for a moment.
And nobody was there to claim me.
Mary regards him sympathetically.
I mean, I'm not the most charming guy in the world, so I've been told, but... Nobody?
Hancock carries a worse-for-wear Ray into his bedroom.
That didn't tire you out at all, coming up the stairs?
Not really.
I'm real spinny. You just flown me upstairs. Whew, I could have done without that.
Get your shoes off here.
All right, that's all you're getting off of me, though. You believe in me, don't you, Hancock?
Of course, Ray. I believe in you.
Help me up here.
Hancock pulls him up.
Listen to me. This is important. Because I believe in you, you know, and...
They clasp hands.
You're gonna do great. You're gonna fix everything.
Moved, Hancock regards him warmly.
You get some sleep, Ray.
You sleep tight, too. Hancock, tucking me in.
Hancock switches the light off and joins Mary, who's washing up downstairs.
He's asleep.
Damn babysitter, cleans up after herself.
She turns away from the sink and comes face to face with Hancock. They regard each other, some chemistry between them. Mary looks down at Hancock's hand.
You have a bruise on your hand?
He keeps staring at her. He keeps on staring. She looks away for a moment.
Getting late.
He leans in to kiss her. As their lips touch, Mary swings Hancock around with enormous force and hurls him aside. He smashes through the fridge and on out through the front of the house into the street, where he bounces off a couple of cars and comes to rest on a third car. Surprised, he sits up and sees Mary pointing at him.
Before he finds out about me,
he regards her with alarm.
You're dead.
She turns and walks back towards the house, leaving him gobsmacked. The sun comes up over LA. Whistling, Mary walks out into the street and opens what's left of the fridge. She takes out some eggs and a few other bits and pieces. A heavily hungover Ray comes downstairs. He walks over to the kitchen counter and pours himself some coffee. He takes a swig and notices the front of the house has been smashed open.
Joan, we're gonna take care of that, okay? Don't you worry.
Ray sees Mary in the street.
Hi, honey. Breakfast?
Hancock sneezed, huh?
Can you believe it? I chew. It's amazing that you slept through that. You're a good sleeper.
Holy shit.
Not gonna say I told you so, but...
You told me he was gonna sneeze a hole through the front of the house?
I just said him being around. Oh, sweetheart, can you get that? Thanks. Oh, God, you strong man.
I got it.
But you don't worry about anything. I already apologized to the neighbors, called State Farm. Everything is taken care of. You just... enjoy that breakfast.
A travel brochure.
What's this? Are we going on vacation?
Mm-hmm.
Are we?
Just the three of us.
End of the summer.
Tonight.
Tonight.
Let's go somewhere.
Knock, knock.
Present time.
Huh?
I was just telling Ray here, I hope you're done sneezing, because I don't think our house could take much more of your sneezing.
She points at the hole in the front of the house. Hancock turns to Ray.
Yeah, sometimes I sneeze when there's dust. Or if I get really surprised.
That's unfortunate. This is Kilbourne. Mike, how you doing?
It was great to see you too.
Yep. Well,
Ray. Go ahead, shoot.
I got a pen right here.
Right. No, I know.
While Mary's back is turned, Hancock picks up a carving fork and sneaks up behind her. He shoves the fork into her shoulder, and the prongs bend like plasticine.
Mm-hmm.
She snatches the fork,
ahead.
She bends the prongs back into shape.
Okay, good. Now,
Hancock whacks her with a rolling pin.
Hang on 1 second. Do me a favor? I'm sorry, Mike.
The rolling pin shattered.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk.
Okay, well,
go away.
Hancock nods. Mary turns back to the kitchen worktop and makes herself a coffee. While her back's turned, Hancock picks up 2 frying pans. He holds them up, ready to bash her round the head, Tom and Jerry style. She turns around.
I can do this all day. Bong, bong, bong.
Shut up.
Bong.
I suppose...
Fine. We'll talk. Okay? And when we're done talking, you go away and you leave my family alone.
My place at 4 o'clock.
Whatever.
He puts the pans down.
It means, well, I'd rather not talk numbers now. I'd like to save for the pitch, so let's just set a time. That's good with me. I will see you then.
All right. Yeah, 3:30. Great.
Hun, is it hot in here?
Wasted days and wasted nights.
Back in the prison, inmates train with weights in the exercise yard. Sitting to one side is the big white guy, and now sporting a neck brace, the black guy, who had his head shoved up the white guy's arse. With them is Red, the bank robber who lost his hand.
He hurt you, didn't he?
The white guy nods.
Oh, use your words. How did it make you feel?
The white guy looks troubled.
Sore.
Bad. Bad.
It's because he took your power. And you have to get your power back. And no one will give you your power back. You have to go out and take it. You understand me?
The white guy nods.
We're gonna go find Hancock and get your power back.
The white guy takes Red's right hand. The black guy has to settle for the hook which has replaced his left. At 4 o'clock, Hancock is standing outside his trailer home on the clifftop. Mary flies down and lands, kicking up a shower of dirt. He takes a couple of steps towards her, and they stare at each other. She walks past him and goes into the trailer. She looks around at Hancock's messy living space, then turns to look at him.
Ask.
He stares after her.
You and I.
You and I what?
We're the same.
No. I'm stronger.
Really?
She sees the old tobacco tin.
Oh, yeah.
Who are we?
Gods, angels. Different cultures call us by different names. Now all of a sudden it's superhero.
Are there more of us?
There were. They all died. It's just the two of us.
Popcorn in a foil bag begins to pop. Hancock takes Mary's wrist.
What is this?
The popcorn flies out of the packet.
Who are we to each other?
We're brother and sister.
That's a lie.
No, I'm your sister.
That is a lie.
I'm your sister.
That is a lie.
No.
Sisters don't kiss brothers the way you kissed me last night.
You're lying. Deal's off. Let's go see how Ray feels about this.
Get your ass back here!
I'm coming!
Hancock flies off with Mary in pursuit. She tackles him and they bounce off a hilltop.
The all-heart symbol will be known globally as a symbol that represents companies that are committed to changing the world. They can give away their sustenance goods, okay? Food, drugs, power, clothing, for free.
I thought we were talking about Hancock.
Number two.
Ray is in a meeting. Hancock and Mary crash into a busy street, smashing the tarmac and badly damaging several cars. As Hancock sits up in the road, Mary marches over to him.
You stay away from me and my family. You are not gonna do this to me again!
What? I don't know what you're talking about!
I love you!
It can't work! Always ends the same way!
Persia! Greece! Brooklyn!
Brooklyn? I've never been to Brooklyn.
I have put up with your bullshit for the last 3,000 years, and I am done!
I don't know what you're talking about.
Done! You look
I don't know what you're talking about!
I am happy, okay? Finally, I am happy!
Look at me! I don't know what you're talking about!
hate to burst your little crazy lady bubble, but it must not have been all that great, because I don't remember you.
Mary removes some sunglasses she just took from a stall and turns to face him.
Call me crazy. One more time.
Cuckoo.
She puts the sunglasses back on and flies into the air with a huge truck. Storm clouds gather and lightning crackles across the sky.
All right, hold it. All right.
Better not hit me with that truck!
For companies to qualify for the all-heart symbol, they need to prove that they are a leader in the global revolution for change. That they are committed to bettering the world, and they can do this in four different ways. This is how they call it.
Hancock bursts up out of the ground through the remains of the truck. He looks around, bewildered, as a tornado is conjured up beside him. Another one forms, and then a third snakes down from the sky. Cars are swept away and the crowds of people flee. Mary removes her sunglasses and flies at Hancock. They shoot up into the air and hurtle across town, crashing through a building site. As they fall on the ground, the wind sweeps a concrete cutter at them. At his meeting, Ray shows his clients a picture of an aircraft bearing the All Heart logo.
The most important thing with All Heart is brand recognition. That's why I've mocked up these examples here in Tokyo, London, Dubai, Paris.
Mary and Hancock crash into the bucket of a bulldozer. They tumble on across the building site, coming to rest on a crane tower. Mary kicks out at Hancock, and they fly on.
So we need maximum exposure. We need extreme market penetration.
Snowing?
They look out of the window and see it is indeed snowing. Suddenly, Mary and Hancock hurtle across the side of the building, ripping out the window. As they struggle, they crash down into the street. Hancock pins Mary to the floor.
Listen to me! I am sorry!
She flops back onto the ground.
Whoever I am, whatever I did, look at me. I'm sorry.
She closes her eyes and turns away from him. Hancock looks up at the tower block they smashed the window out of and sees an unpleasantly surprised Ray staring down at them. Mary sees him too. Later, Ray drives home in his not very well repaired BMW. He walks into his shattered house and sees Mary fly down into the back garden. She marches into the house.
Why were you flying? You were flying, Mary.
Yeah, she was definitely flying.
Okay, I was flying. And I'm very strong as well. It's just the way we are.
We?
Me and him. It's just us now. The others paired up and died.
Well, you didn't say anything about the others pairing up at the trailer.
You were at his trailer.
This is very hard to explain.
Great, I'm all ears, Mary.
Me too.
Do me a favor, just give me and my wife one moment,
hey, please. Don't bring it here, Ray.
The adults are talking for 1 second.
Technically speaking, he's my husband.
Holy shit.
What?
We broke up decades ago, long before you were born. He just can't remember.
But you can, right? You knew? That's something you might want to bring up on a first date, Mary. I don't like to travel. I'm allergic to cats. I'm immortal, okay? Those are like some of the things you might want to give a little heads up on.
Whatever we are, we were built in twos, okay? We're drawn to each other. No matter how far I run, he's always there. He finds me. It's physics.
What are you saying? Are you saying that you two are fated to be together?
I've lived for a very long time, Ray. And the one thing I learned, fate doesn't decide everything. People get to choose.
And you chose to let me think I was here alone.
Hancock gets to his feet. He walks up behind Mary, who hangs her head.
I didn't think you'd miss what you didn't remember.
Great. Now what?
Didn't plan for this.
She walks past Hancock and goes out into the garden. A grave-looking Hancock regards Ray, who stares impassively back at him. Night. A car drives past a liquor shop that Hancock is walking into.
Prison authorities confirmed that the prisoner uprising led
by Kenneth Grant Parker Jr. He's also the leader of last week's Spring Street bank robbery. At least 8 prisoners are not accounted for. More information on the prison riot in Norwalk. Construction workers at the prison were attacked and knocked unconscious. Prisoners stole the workers' clothes, and it is feared that at least some of them have escaped. Parker is considered a criminal mastermind. He is very effective at using psychological persuasion to organize criminals from different backgrounds. He is a former psychology professor from Stanford University. While there, he organized a notorious criminal network comprised of graduate students from diverse fields.
9110.
Authorities are reporting. 9110? You gotta be shitting me.
9110.
Highway robbery.
Two gunmen are crouching behind the counter of the liquor store. Hancock covers the last zero of the till readout with his finger to make 911. The shopkeeper indicates behind the counter with his eyes. Hancock wearily bends down and punches a hole in the counter. He pulls out one of the gunmen, who he hurls across the shop. The second gunman holds a pistol to the shopkeeper's head.
What?
I'm taking the money!
Hancock nods, then points at the gunman.
I can relate to that.
He grabs a candy bar.
You know, if you want something, nobody can stop you from taking it. You just take it, right? I like that. But can you take it? A Zagnut bar versus your guy.
The gunman shoots at Hancock, who throws the Zagnut bar, knocking the gunman off his feet. To the shopkeeper.
Sorry about your window.
The shopkeeper gawps at Hancock. Hancock looks around the shop, apparently deep in thought. Hancock looks down and sees he has a bullet wound in his chest, which is bleeding. He touches the blood and looks at it in amazement. He stares at the blood like he can't quite understand what it is. He sways unsteadily, then staggers backwards into a display of candies. He lurches forward and collapses onto the floor. White-coated medics rush Hancock along a hospital corridor on a gurney. They take him into resus. Hancock sees a doctor approach with a hypodermic needle.
It's not gonna work.
The needle goes in.
What's happening?
Ray and Aaron eat meatballs.
This just in. John Hancock has been rushed to Los Angeles General Hospital. Hancock is in serious condition with multiple gunshot wounds. No story yet as to how this happened to him, but we will be continuing to cover this story live as it unfolds. Reporting live.
Aaron turns to look at Ray. Later, they arrive at the hospital. A press pack pursues them.
From what I've heard, he was trying to stop a robbery.
Do you know if special ammunition was used in the gun that shot him? Some new bullet technique?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Could this have anything to do with the mysterious superwoman?
Did you see that?
I do not have that answer.
Could this woman be more powerful than him?
Hancock lies in his hospital bed in a stable condition. Mary walks past the nurse's station outside his room and looks in on him. He turns his head and sees her. She walks over to the open glass door of his room and stands in the doorway. He stares up at her.
You're becoming mortal. It's us. Being close to each other. It's never happened this fast before.
She sits on the side of the bed.
You have to leave. The further away you get from me, the better you're gonna feel. You'll start getting your powers back and you'll be flying and breaking things and saving people before you know it.
Aaron and Ray are in an elevator, which makes its way up past the 7th floor. Ray stands resting his hands on Aaron's shoulders. Aaron notices the man standing in front of him has a hook. Hancock stares at Mary.
It's like I said, we were built in pairs. And when we get close to our opposites, we lose our power. so we can live human lives. Love, connect. Grow old. Die.
What happened to us?
She pulls aside his gown, revealing a scar.
Summer of 4 BC. We were becoming mortal like now. They came after me with swords. You saved me.
She uncovers a scar on his arm.
1850. They set our house on fire. You pulled me out of the flames.
80 years ago. What happened then?
We were living in Miami. And a new movie was playing in town.
Frankenstein.
She smiles.
And after, we walked down Flagler Street and you took my hand and you held it so tight.
She kisses his hand and he stares up intensely at her.
They attacked us in an alley.
They clasp hands.
They hit you so hard. There was so much blood. They wouldn't let me ride in the ambulance with you. And by the time I got to the hospital, you were awake.
She looks at him and shakes her head.
But you didn't know me. So that... Every time we're together, they come after you through me.
He stares up at her. Ray and Aaron walk onto the ward and see Mary holding hands with Hancock. Ray looks disappointed and leads Aaron away, unseen by either Mary or Hancock.
You're built to save people more than the rest of us. That's who you are. You're a hero. The insurance policy of the gods. Keep one alive. You. To protect this world.
He stares at her. The huge white guy and the little black guy walk onto the hospital ward. Hancock and Mary spot them. As Mary stands up, they open fire, gunning her down. Hancock hurls his hospital bed at them, knocking them off their feet.
Stay down!
Hancock picks Mary up and smashes his way through a wall. He takes Mary to a bed and puts her down on it. Blood stains her shirt. Mary grips Hancock and looks at him desperately. He holds a towel to her bloody wound. Hancock turns to see the black con pick his weapon up off the floor. Hancock grabs him and hurls him through a window. Ray cuddles Aaron. Two more convicts open fire. Hancock throws a wheelchair at them. He overturns a vending machine and slides it towards Ray to hide behind.
Stay down.
Ray and Aaron huddle behind it. Hancock throws a con, Jeff, against the wall. Mary stumbles out of bed and falls. A doctor and other medics rush up. Hancock battles with Jeff while Mary is forced back to her bed. Doctors prepare to administer morphine to Mary. A con, Tiny, who's a burly bearded guy, creeps up to Hancock and stabs him in the back with a dagger. Mary writhes. Hancock removes the dagger and turns to face Tiny, who slams him with an oxygen tank. Tiny slams him again. Tiny hurls the tank at Hancock. It explodes and bursts into flames. The overhead sprinkler system turns on. Tiny pins Hancock against a wall and strangles him. Mary gasps. Tiny continues to choke Hancock. Hancock grabs him by the balls. He lifts Tiny up and tosses him through a window. EKG leads are attached to Mary's body. A monitor displays her heart rate and blood pressure. A doctor picks up defibrillator paddles. Elsewhere, Hancock staggers into a corridor where water rains down from the overhead sprinklers. Red appears behind him and shoots him in the back. Mary's body jerks.
Upon us all, Hancock. You're no different.
Hancock walks towards him.
Time to shut her down, Hancock. It's been a nice run.
As Hancock is shot again, Mary's body jerks again. Hancock almost stumbles. Close by, Ray stands watching. There's a fire axe mounted to a wall behind him. Hancock stands only a few feet from Red. They stare into one another's eyes. Hancock sinks to his knees, then drops onto all fours, spewing blood from his mouth. Red circles him.
Oh, we are all sincerely gonna miss you. But it is time for you to move on.
Mary lies motionless, eyes staring ahead.
And maybe to a happier place.
Hancock gasps.
You can thank me if you want to. Superhero.
He prepares to shoot. Behind him, Ray swings the fire axe and severs Red's hand. Red looks at his hook hand.
You didn't!
Ray pounds him across the chest with the axe, sending him sprawling. Hancock lies motionless. Light flashes intermittently on Hancock, illuminating a pool of blood by his mouth and a gash about his right eye. In the hospital room, Mary flatlines. Hancock lies on his back as medics try to resuscitate him. A light is shone in Mary's eyes. Little Aaron steps along a corridor to see Hancock lying on the floor. A light is shone in Hancock's lifeless brown eyes. Ray leads his son away. Drenched through, Aaron looks back over his shoulder as he walks on. Beads of water glisten on Hancock's skin. Mary's head is arched back, her eyes are closed and her mouth is open. Hancock stirs as he inhales. His eyes open. He turns over and pushes himself up. Hands reach down to help him. Hancock straightens up and stands tall amongst the medics. He walks on slowly, splashing through the stream of water, stepping past Red's body. He looks up to see Mary being resuscitated. Hancock walks on with determination and steps past Ray and Aaron, who are crouched by a wall. They watch him in astonishment. Hancock walks to the end of the corridor, then leaps through a glass window. The glass shatters and Hancock bounces off a bus on the street below. The monitor picks up Mary's heartbeat. Hancock writhes painfully, then pushes himself back onto his feet. He leaps in the air again, attempting to fly. He falls to the ground. Mary's heartbeat grows stronger. Hancock walks on. Hancock jumps up again. This time he flies towards the Times newspaper building before dropping to the ground again. Mary jolts. Hancock rises with an expression of grim resolve. He jumps onto a car and leaps from it. Mary shudders. Hancock lands on his feet on a highway. As a car approaches, he doggedly jumps again. This time he soars towards a full moon in the black sky. Mary opens her eyes. She blinks and turns her head to look about. The screen goes to black. A caption. 1 month later. The colourful lights of a funfair's big wheel as it spins. Mary, Ray, Aaron and their dog walk along a beach broadwalk eating ice creams.
What about Attila the Hun?
Completely cross-eyed.
Cross-eyed?
Yeah.
What about Queen Elizabeth?
Knee-D.
JFK? What about him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anything more?
Not like that. I was
really
in Cuba for the whole missile thing.
Yeah, hang on.
He answers his phone.
Hello.
Ray.
Hey, I've been trying to call you.
Yeah, I was out of cell range.
Are you outside?
Yeah.
Look up.
All right, I'm looking up. I'm looking up.
He suddenly freezes. There's a bright red All Heart logo etched onto the surface of the moon.
Nice cake, baby.
What?
Mary looks up and stares. From his perch on top of the Empire State Building in New York, Hancock smiles.
You're gonna change the world.
Good job, Ray.
Oh my God, Ray.
She nudges Aaron. With the moon between them, Mary and Ray kiss tenderly.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
They look up at the moon and smile.
I get in trouble for that? What?
Hancock, who wears a wireless mobile phone earpiece, looks down at an eagle perched beside him. The eagle takes flight. Hancock, in his black leather suit with narrow luminous piping which hugs his muscular body, jumps from the building. He descends swiftly, then flies with his arms held down by his sides. Hancock, the superhero, jets over the city's busy streets. He spins and thrusts forward between the clustered skyscrapers, disappearing in a flash of smoke. The city lights twinkle in the night. ITFC audio description by John Walskill and Aileen Downey, read by Sam Clark. Directed by Peter Berg. Written by Vi Vincent Ngo and Vince Gilligan. Produced by Akiva Goldsman, Michael Mann, Will Smith, James Lasseter. Executive producer Ian Bryce. Executive producers Jonathan Mosto, Richard Saperstein. New York, an armed criminal races down a street pursued by several police cars. Soon he's surrounded by cops. He grabs a girl.
Get back! I'll shoot! Get back! I'm not playing! Get back! Damn! Hand job! Where you come from?
All right, relax. Just tell me what you need.
Tell them cops to turn. Tell them to take the guns off of me.
All right.
Tell them to take the guns up off of me.
Just take them off, guys. Lower your weapons.
You gonna get us out of here with that tight-ass Wolverine outfit on. Now let's make it happen, asshole!
Peaked, Hancock turns to camera with a wry smile. Will Smith, Charlize Theron, Jason Bateman, Eddie Marson, Johnny Galecki, Thomas Lennon. Director of Photography, Tobias Schleisler. Production Designer, Neil Spisak. Edited by Paul Rebell, ACE, Colby Parker Jr. Visual Effects designed by John Dykstra, ASC. Casting by Francine Maisler, CSA. Music by John Powell. Costume Designer, Louise Mingenbach. A film by Peter Berg. Cast: John Hancock, Will Smith, Mary, Charlize Theron, Ray, Jason Bateman, Aaron, Jai Head, Red, Eddie Marsan, Man Mountain, David Matty, Matrix, Matrix Fitton, Mike, Thomas Lennon, Jeremy, Johnny Galecki, Hottie, Haley Marie Norman. Woman in Dive Bar, Dorothy Ketchy, Girl at Bus Bench, Michelle Lemon, Executives, Akiva Goldsman, Michael Mann, Rad Leyland, Troy Tran. Police Sergeant, Daryl Foster. Female Cop, Liz Wicker. Female Hostage, Taylor Gilbert. Clapping Guy, Carol Tome. Woman Under Ray's Car, Barbara Alley. Rail Crossing Crowd, Ryan Radis. Elizabeth Dennehy, Darren Dowler. Train Engineer, John Frazier. Michelle, Daig Farch. Neighborhood Kids, Matthew King, Martin Magdaleno. Man on Street, Ronald W. Howard. Police Chief, Greg Daniel. As herself, Nancy Grace. Boy at Bus Bench, Atticus Schaffer. Ice Cream Truck Patrons, Aaron Henderson, Hoy Nguyen, Mary Jessica Pitts, Kaylee St. Clair. Convicts: Don Gibb, Ralph Richardson, Alan Havey, Tim Brennan, Anthony Ledesmar, Stephen Pierce, Dominic Prampin, Daniel Quinn, Mars Crane, Jack Axelrod, Eddie Fernandez, Martin Kleber. Angry Men, Richard W. Galagos, Mark Geshwind, Rob Moran. Sunglass Woman, Aisha Zhao. Sikh, Pritam Singh. Reporter, Cher Calvin. Valet, Bill McMullen. Co-stunt coordinator, Wade Eastwood. Music supervision by George Draculias. Additional music by James McKee Smith, John Ashton Thomas, Henry Jackman. Orchestra conducted by Pete Anthony. Orchestrations by Kevin Kleisch, Jermaine Franco. Special visual effects and animation by Sony Pictures Imageworks Incorporated, Culver City, California. Filmed in part at Sony Pictures Studios, Culver City, California. Soundtrack, Unverise Sarabande. Music, Whamma Jamma, written by Stephen Blad, John Giles Jr., Seth Justman, Daniel Klein, Richard Salwitz and Peter Wolfe, performed by Jay Giles Band. Highway 13, written and performed by John Lee Hooker. Move Bitch, written by Jonathan Smith, Craig Lawson, Bobby Sandemany and Michael Tyler, performed by Ludacris, featuring Mystical and I-20, also performed by DJ No Name. The 900, written by Mark James, remixed by T. Ray, performed by Mark the 45 King James. I'm in the Mood, written by Bernard Bessman and John Lee Hooker, performed by John Lee Hooker. Serves You Right to Suffer, written and performed by John Lee Hooker. Water from the Same Source, written by Christian Frederickson, Rachel Grimes and Jason Noble, performed by Rachels. Best Dressed Chicken in Town, written by James Winston Thompson, performed by Dr. Alimentado. Colors, written by Ice-T and Africa Islam, performed by Ice-T. Sanford and Son theme, written and performed by Quincy Jones. Tippy Toes, written by Arthur Neville, George Porter Jr., Joseph Modaliste and Leo Nocentelli, performed by The Meters. Paper Planes, written by Mathangi Aral Pragasam, Wesley Pence, Topper Heaton, Mick Jones, Paul Simonon and Joe Strummer, performed by MIA. Two, written by Ryan Adams and Brad Pemberton, performed by Ryan Adams. Lego Cacchietto, written by Roberto Fonseca and Orlando Cacchietto Lopez, performed by Roberto Fonseca. Wasted Days and Wasted Nights, written by Huey P. Moe, performed by Freddie Fender. Here I Come, written by Tariq Collins, Carl Jenkins, Richard Nichols, Malik Smart and Amir Thompson, performed by The Roots. Feeling You, written by Devin Edwards and Todd Ray, performed by Devin Edwards. Copyright Columbia Pictures Industries Incorporated and GH3 LLC, all rights reserved. Columbia Pictures Industries Incorporated is the author of this film for the purpose of copyright and other laws. This is a work of fiction. The characters, incidents and locations portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to or identification with the location, name, character or history of any person, product or entity is entirely coincidental and unintentional. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Columbia Pictures.